Hello and welcome to episode 92 of the Alfa Romeo Driver Podcast, brought to you by the Alfa Romeo Owners Club. I'm Guy Swarbrick, and in our 33 Stradale Day edition, what? You didn't know it was 33 Stradale Day? Alfa Romeo has decreed that this 3rd of March and every 3rd of March will be a celebration of the original and the latest 33 Stradales. 3rd of March, 3-3, 33? Anyway, happy 33 Stradale Day. Now, back to the podcast. This week, I sat down with arguably the club's most enthusiastic model registrar, Nathan Mahoney, who looks after the GT register. Good afternoon, Nathan.
Good afternoon.
So, we haven't seen each other for ages, Nathan. It must be almost 12 hours.
Yeah, just about. It's been a while.
Yeah, so for listeners, we were both at Caffeine and Machine last night for at the Bowl, the second Caffeine and Machine venue.
Yes.
For their dual venue, Alpha Night. Quite a nice collection of cars there.
Yeah, I thought so. I was surprised at the good turnout that we had, considering it was a Monday evening.
In February and freezing.
Exactly, yeah. All those factors play into it. But yeah, it was good to see so many cars out.
And I say it was freezing. I had a brief chat with you when you arrived, and I went in and had a pizza and a long chat and came back out, and you were still outside in the freezing cold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the Alfisti passion right there. I couldn't get away from the cars. Yep.
Okay, so that was the most recent time we met. I think the first time we met was at Autumn Alpha Day at Yorkshire Wildlife Park back in 2021.
That's correct. Yes, that is the first time we met. Yep. And I had my 159.
Yeah, and I think that was one of your, if not your first club event, wasn't it?
It was. Yes, it was my first. Yeah. Yeah, very good event it was.
Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, so it was my first Alpha, so I thought it would be rude not to try and integrate myself into the club. Because the community, I value the community, the Alpha community. So I thought I'll tag along. I was living in Liverpool at the time, so it weren't too far away from me. And yeah, brilliant day. Couldn't believe how polite everyone was and how welcoming everyone was. And it was a very, very good experience for me and the missus. Yeah,
and took home an award as well, from what I remember.
I did, and I still cherish that trophy. It's on my mental place. It's absolutely, yeah, I look at it every time and I go, yeah, it's nice to get the one with the GT. But yeah, that was my my first award, actually.
Okay, yeah. So that was September 2021. So how long had you had that 159?
I'd had that for a year. Yeah, I had it for a year. I bought it off of a fellow. I don't think he was in the AROC, but he was a proper Alfa Romeo like fan. And I bought it from him down in Devon. So I travelled all the way overnight from Liverpool to Devon on a coach. It took ages, but I just kept looking at pictures of the car and going, oh, it was all worth it, it was all worth it. Got there and I fell in love with it as soon as I saw it. So yeah.
And that was a limited edition, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
It was a Bond car.
That's it, yeah. I felt like a Bond villain every time I got into it. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
And we know from that film that those cars were quite capable of keeping up with an Aston Martin.
Exactly. So that was my reasoning anyway. I was like, there's no Aston's going to get away from me because I've got more than enough power to keep up.
So what happened to that car? Because obviously you're now the GT registrar and driving a GT. So yes. How much longer did you have the 159?
I had it for about another 4 months. And then for reasons, I still regret it now. I thought, oh, I fancy something else. And then because I have a BMW background, I'm into old BMW. So I thought, oh, I want to get back to a straight six engine. I kind of miss it. And the diesel wasn't really for me. So I thought, I'll dip my toe back into the BMW world. It was the biggest mistake I ever made. it was awful. Honestly, it caused so many issues. Like it was something I can't really describe, but it's when you've had an Alpha, there's a special feeling that you get that you don't get from anything else. And I just missed it. I missed the way it looks. I miss everything about it, the community. So yeah, I had the BMW for 2 months and then I went looking for a GT. Yeah.
And having said you got rid of the 159 partly because it was a diesel, which GT did you end up with?
The diesel. Yeah. Yeah. The 1.9 diesel. Yeah. It's irony. Irony at its best. Yeah.
But it is a cracking engine, 1.9.
It is. The one in my car is the 170 version because it's the Q2.
Yeah.
So it does give it a bit of extra poke. And to be honest, it feels better than the 159 diesel engine did. I think that's because the M32 gearbox is not on the GT. So maybe it was that combination that I didn't like.
So which 159 was it, the 2 liter or the?
It was 1.9.
It wasn't a 1.9, but it was the 150.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. For some reason, the extra 20 horsepower just feels so much different. Yeah. And of course, my car's got the different injectors as well.
Okay. Yeah. And there's probably another 130 horsepower in there if you want it, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's gone to Autolusso Bournemouth with Lawrence, and he's worked his magic on it. So it's got a stage one map on it. So it's pushing around 200 brake now.
Okay.
But the Newton, the torque is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that must have been, beginning of summer 2022?
No, it was September 2022.
So almost exactly a year after you you won the prize with the 159.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously back in the community, and then a little bit later you got roped into running the GT register. So how did that come about?
Quite a surprise, actually, to be honest. I wasn't expecting to be asked. The previous GT registrar, I used to speak to him quite often, and I think he was based in Scotland, like North Scotland, so like in an island above Scotland. So he said it's quite difficult for him to do events and, you know, to logistics and stuff. So he just said, oh, you know, because I used to post about daily about my experiences with my GT on the Facebook pages and all that. So he approached me and said, oh, you know, is it something you'd like to do? And I said, oh, of course. Yeah, I'd love to get involved. And David messaged me as well. And he said, I love seeing your, you know, enthusiasm about the GT and the collab and the people. You know, I think you'd be good at it. So I was offered it. And yeah, it's probably the best thing I've done, actually. I really enjoy it.
And that was sometime last year, wasn't it?
I believe so. Yeah.
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 And you kind of hit the ground running, didn't you?
Oh, that's very kind. That's very kind of you to say.
If you had a big presence in the GT register before you took over, that kind of ramped up almost exponentially once you became the registrar.
I would say so. Yeah. When we announced that I was the new registrar, everyone messaged me saying, oh, you know, fantastic, and you're the best man for the job, and well done, and you know, you're very enthusiastic, we like your passion. Everyone was so kind, so it was brilliant. Yeah. I was a bit nervous about it, but yeah.
And I have a services background, and one of the things you're always told is, you know, keep your nose clean, act green, and never volunteer for anything.
Exactly.
Which is not your philosophy, is it?
No. I've gone completely the other way. The other way. Yeah. Especially out of Coventry. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to mention Coventry. So for those listeners who didn't attend, every 2 years we have a big meeting for all the section secretaries and model registrars, which has been in Coventry the last couple of times. And we have one of those in October. And we did a big exercise where I think we came up with about 97 initiatives that section secretaries or registrars were going to take forward and just do little things to make the club even better than it is today. And I think you volunteered for 87 of the 97, something like that. I lose track.
Something like that. I know that my arm was very, it hurt a lot from constantly raising it and volunteering myself for various things.
It wasn't quite 87, but I think it was 9 or 10, something like that, that you ended up with.
I think I ended up with the most.
You did, like, by far.
Yeah, out of everybody. Yeah. And I'll be honest, I've lost track a little bit, but I've recently found the document, so I'm working through it gradually.
And I think you were dumb enough to volunteer, but smart enough to put the date at the back end of this year, so you've got some time to do it.
Current some leeway.
In the meantime, you've been busy with lots of events, so again, club members will have seen the Cheddar Gorge event on the front cover of the February issue. Tell us a little bit about that, how it came about and what happened on the day.
Okay, so Cheddar Gorge was brilliant. It was my sort of first event, sort of organizing and planning it. I had some help from various other members that were fantastic. But so I noticed that the GT's anniversary had gone sort of under the radar a little bit, because I think we had the Mito's 15th with David, and he did the, was it Cobra? Sprint course, yes. So we had that, and I thought the GT was a bit left out. So I thought, we have to do something. We can't just let it pass and not go notice. So decided, you know, we'd do a little bit of a drive out to see how many members wanted to turn up and see how it would go. Held a little vote online to see sort of Cheddar Gorge, Yorkshire Dells. Those are the sort of locations we're looking at. Cheddar Gorge got an overwhelming majority, so that was location sorted. Yeah, and from then it was sort of logistics of where we'd meet in the morning, how long we'd stay there, you know, how many would come, which was also a big worry because the weather.
It was quite late in the year as well, wasn't it?
It was November as well. So I know most of the cars were all chucked up in their garages. So it was a bit of a challenge, I'll be honest. And the day before, the sun was shining and it was brilliant. The weather was immaculate. And as soon as our day rolled around, the weather was terrible. It was awful. And I sort of thought to myself, oh, if people were going to turn up now, they probably won't. But yeah, I had nothing to fear. We had an outstanding presence there. I won't forget it.
You were the first, if not one of the first, into the car park, the gathering point, if I remember correctly. So how nervous were you waiting to see if anybody else would turn up?
Yeah, extremely nervous, extremely. I was the first one, and I set up the club flag and all that, and I had my brother with me, he has the photographer, and he sort of looked at me and I looked at him, and the time slowly rolled around and we were like, oh my gosh, there is a very real possibility we could be the only ones turning up here. Yeah, in the distance we could just hear a V6, and it was like, yeah, that's one. So one or more and I'm winning. So
And how many was it in the end?
We had 17 turn up. Yeah, it was quite a sight. It was quite a sight.
And your brother did a fantastic job on the photography, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he was brilliant. Yeah, and we had a drone/videographer as well come along, and he was brilliant, absolutely spot on, like true petrol heads, proper Alfa Romeo enthusiasts, and yeah, they did us very good, I think. Yeah.
So obviously a big success, got on the cover of the magazine. So I guess the only problem that leaves you with is, how do you top that?
Yeah. Exactly. That's where I think collaborations now come into it. That's what I'm starting to think about.
Yeah, so, and you've got a couple of collaborative things coming up, haven't you? One.
Yes.
So this podcast goes out on the 3rd of March.
Yes.
And I think that's the date of your next outing, isn't it?
Just off. It's the 2nd of March is our first one. Yeah. Yeah, so the 2nd of March on the Saturday, so this coming Saturday it would be, I think. Yeah, so me and the GT and the 159 registrar with Debbie, we are going to British Motor Museum. So, yeah, so I think we've got about 20 cars turning up to that. So it should be quite good, yeah.
Yeah, and that's an even split of the two, or dominated by GTs?
Unfortunately not so far, but we could get some latecomers. But
yeah,
I think the 159s have just picked us. I think they're two more cars ahead of us. So yeah, we're not counting.
I can pretend we recorded this live on the Sunday and ask you how it went, but that then you'd have to make it all up.
So let's just say it just went brilliantly. It was amazing.
It will have been brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It will have been brilliant. The weather will have been absolutely out of this world. It'd be 32 degrees and nothing to fit. Yeah. It'll be brilliant.
And then it's not long until the next event you're involved with, is it?
Yes. So the following week, we're with the 916 registrar, Dave Hart, and he's invited us along to a breakfast meet and a drive along the South Coast. So that should be very fun. Although it is Mother's Day. So
yeah.
So yeah. So those that will come out, I can't thank them enough in advance, because obviously people are sort of tied up. But
I've never sat in the back of a GT, but I'm always told there's more room than you'd think. So maybe mums can go in the back of the GT.
Yeah, exactly. Bring a mum along. Yeah. That's what I would say. Bring a mum along.
I have been in the back of a 916 GTV, and that probably isn't the place for mum. But
no, that is true. But all the GTs that turn up, they can just volunteer to carry all the mums, and then we're fine. Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. And then obviously this is the club's 60th anniversary, so we've got a lot of stuff going on. What are your plans beyond the middle of March, which is going to keep you busy the next couple of weeks?
I want to try and get involved with as many registrars as possible. So I've met recently with the Brera registrar, and we're trying to plan something for April. Whether that be another caffeine and machine sort of meet, or a drive and a meet at the same time, we're not too sure yet, but we do want to definitely do something, especially being the Brera and the GT. Seeing they were on sale at the same time, it makes sense. It's the logical sort of comparison.
Yeah, I mean, arguably them both being on sale at the same time didn't make sense. not many companies have two coupes in the lineup at the same time. But
Exactly.
But they were.
Yeah. I would love if we could go back to those days having two Alfa coupes on sale, but
One would be a start, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It would help if we could have one.
From the spy pictures, it does look as though the back end of the Milano roof slopes a bit, but still four-door, not 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 a coupe by any stretch of the imagination.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We need a full-on proper coupe. Another 4C would be nice.
Yeah.
Something along that line.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, so we've got the Brera meet, and hopefully I want to try and contact some other registrars to get something done. Yeah.
And then obviously we've got the big events coming up. So Spring Alpha Days back at your first venue at Yorkshire Wildlife Park, which I think you're now London-based, aren't you? So that's a bit of a schlep.
It is. I will be attending, though.
Oh, good. Good stuff.
Looking, I will be attending.
Looking to win another prize at the same venue in a different car.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This, I've made the 60th anniversary year. My aim is to get the GT a prize.
Okay.
We need to get the GT a prize. Yeah. Any GT I'd be happy with. We need to get them a trophy.
So that's what the back end of April, isn't it? And then we've got National Alpha Day at Bicester again. Any plans for the register there?
So what I want to do is try and get all the GTs parked together. Now, I know logistically this could be a bit of a nightmare, but I'm going to try my best and try and see if we can get all the GTs in a nice line at Bicester and, make it a bit of a GT section. Because usually at the events, the GTs are sort of spread everywhere and everyone's sort of searching for everyone. So if we can sort of try and get them all in the same place, that would be an achievement, I think.
At least it's very distinctive looking. I know I've done a couple of events where we have had model parking and I've been looking after the 939 Spider parking. And there's been people at the gate who are probably less familiar with the 939 models than I am. And so I'm there standing to waiting for the Spiders to come along, and there's Breras and 159 sport wagons and all sorts of things being sent my way aren't quite what I was expecting. But the GT's pretty distinctive. I mean, despite the fact that it shares a lot of underpinnings with the 156 and the 147, it doesn't look like either of them, does it, at all?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think they say the chassis is based on the 156 sport wagon, which is a very weird, like when you think about it, it's an estate car that's got a coupe is sort of based on an estate. It's very, very odd, but it works. It really does work.
Well, it's to take those long doors, isn't it? You need the room of an estate car and four doors to fit the two doors from the GT.
Yes, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And yet, somehow, still getting into the back is an issue.
And you talked about the collaboration thing, which is interesting because that's something that we hadn't really done in the past and now seems to be the thing to do, which is brilliant. How much easier or more complicated is it arranging a multi-register event compared to your single register event at Cheddar?
That's a top question. That's an absolute top question. In many ways, I'd say it's easier, actually, because you can sort of share responsibility. So, so you've got sort of one registrar doing half and then me doing another half, and it kind of shares the load a little bit rather than a specific sort of model event where you've got to take on the sole responsibility of planning everything. So I would say it is easier. It's just two ideas coming together. You have to sort of compromise between the two, but usually it's not an issue. I would say it's usually pretty fun. I say it's more fun, actually, especially because you've got two passionate people about their model and about the club and about the brand. The ideas are usually better because you're sort of working with good ideas all the time, so you can't really lose. Yeah, so I would say it's definitely something that I'd say most registrars should look to do, because it does bring back the sort of Alfa Romeo, what it means to drive an Alfa Romeo, the whole community. It brings it to the forefront and it makes things a lot better.
And I guess in some ways the 916 register is the prototype for that, because traditionally that would have been a GTV and a Spider register, the same way we've got a Brera and a 939 Spider register. But the 916 always seems to have worked as a single paired register, if that makes sense.
100%, yeah. So when I was sort of looking at what I could do with the GT registrar, the two sections I looked at was the Mito and the 916 registrar.
Thought the Mito's so far away.
Yeah.
I like the 916.
Yeah, David's done such a good job. Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to close the gap anytime soon, but that is my aim, and I do want to do something with the Mito registrar. But yeah, I thought the 916 and the way they plan their events, especially when they went to Silverstone, I think it was, the 916 guys, it was brilliant. So yeah, if we could do something like with the GT, and that's where the sort of Cheddar Gorge inspiration came from, you know, it's something that is very enjoyable, and everybody, once they've been to one, they want to go to the next one and the next one and the next one. So
I guess the other thing that is kind of GT register overlap a bit, I always find it quite interesting that the 916 cars, there was never really a big modified scene around the GTV and the Spider, whereas the GT, the Mito, and the Brera are probably, you know, if you pick three recent alphas that are most likely to be modded, it's probably those three. So there's probably those three registers plus Ragazzi plus the modified register. There's probably some kind of core for an event there as well.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, that would be good to do, because I think with the GTs at the moment now, the price point they are at, it's sort of like people's entry level Alfa Romeo, if you like. If you don't want something too new, like a sort of Mito, but you want something a bit sort of, it's in the middle, sort of modern classic, and it's affordable. So when you've got all the sort of youngins coming in, the first thing they want to do is modify it. So yeah, so it would be good to get a sort of a modified or Ragazzi / GT registrar event going, because it does make sense. Because I do see a lot of members coming in, especially the younger ones that have gone, oh, I've bought this, you know, I've mapped mine and I've put a new exhaust on mine. And I saw it yesterday at the Caffeine Machine. There was another GT there, and he was owned by a 21-year-old chap, and he had a 3.2 Busso, and he was like, it's his first involvement in an Alfa Romeo. And I sort of said to him, for a first Alfa Romeo, you've pretty much hit the nail on the head. You've gone in at the best one, and he loves it.
Coupe with a Busso. Yeah, exactly. It's about as good as it gets, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, so you've done well there.
So we talked a lot about the register. We haven't talked that much about you and your car. So you tell us a bit about your professional life, because there's a link to how you turned up at your first event and won an award, isn't it?
So I'm a detailer by trade. So it gives me an unfair advantage when prepping my car. Yeah, because the 159 was I think it was 210,000 miles it was on. It was on something ridiculous, but I managed to work a bit of magic on the bodywork and got it looking.
It looked more like 21,000 miles, I have to say.
Yeah, it did scrub up quite well, I must admit. But so that's what I pride myself in. I'm a very OCD perfectionist when it comes to stuff. So at the events, I always look around everyone's car, and I can't help it, but I always evaluate people's paintwork. I'm just walking along going, oh, yeah, he's polished it. He hasn't. He's polished it. Yeah.
I had last night, but you couldn't tell because the weather overnight on Saturday was horrible.
Yeah. To be fair, I did see that you had polished it, to be fair. So well done for you. Well done for that.
So I guess the big question, being a detailer, is do you spend more time driving the GT or washing it and polishing it?
That's a very good question. Oh, goodness. It's about equal, actually. It's about 50-50. I actually clean my cars at 1 a.m., believe it or not. Yeah, because there's a 24-hour place that I use, and it's got good lighting. So I bring all my stuff. I bring all my snow foams and everything along with me, and I just plug them in and do it there. And it's 1 a.m., and it's lovely.
Well, at least you don't get... you know, water spots from it drying in the baking sun and all of that kind of stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
It must be freezing, though.
It is very cold, yes. But it's worth it for the perfection that you get at the end of it.
Brilliant. So any further plans for the car? So you said it's been down to Auto Lusso and been remapped. Is the modding going to stay hidden, or have you got any plans to tweak the appearance at all?
I would say I was rather boring, I'm afraid. I'm a sort of OEM plus kind of person. I like sort of keeping things as stock as I possibly can. So I think the modding has sort of stopped. It was just sort of to give the engine a bit more grunt, if you like, but I like the standard stock look, which I know is, especially nowadays with the modding scene, I'm a bit of an old head, I suppose, but I like OEM. I think Alistair did a good job.
I don't know if you listened to the podcast I did with Alan Thomas, the modified registrar.
I did.
And we talked a lot about OEM Plus at what point does it become modified? So I posted some pictures of my Tonale in the modified register the other day, because I've changed the rear Tonale badge to black.
Ooh,
so,
nice.
So the question was, is that qualified to be in the modified register?
I think so. You've made an improvement. There you go. There's a mod.
Yeah, which is factory badge, but never available in the UK for some bizarre reason.
I know. Yeah, it's Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, absolutely. Black badges on the wings, chrome badges on the boot, because
Alpha. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Anything you can't explain, the Cos Alpha. There you go.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about the two cars you have owned. Yeah, I think one of the things that tends to happen, and my entry was through an Alpha Sud Sprint. Most people come in because they kind of accidentally or unexpectedly bought an Alpha and then got hooked. So you've had two. If there was one current or past Alpha that you could own next, what would it be? And if you can't get it down to one, that's fine. I'll take the top three.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, you might have to, actually. Oh, gosh. 156 GTA, 100%. GT 3.2. And if we're going modern, a Stelvio Quadrifoglio.
That's an interesting choice. Again, a conversation we have on the podcast a lot.
Yeah.
Is the Giulia or Stelvio Quadrifoglio?
Yeah.
Because I think you do, yeah. Objectively, the Giulia is a better car. It's a beautiful car, handles fantastically, but the Stelvio's handles almost as well, and it's more practical, and the four wheel drive is
is
amazing to get you out of trouble.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough to be in it. I got a drive in a Stelvio Quad in a passenger seat, and he launched it, and I could not believe how quick that thing is. Like, for the size of it, I knew it would be quick, but I didn't expect it to be that quick. So
again, it's a story I've told on the podcast before, but the first time I drove a Stelvio Quad was at Goodwood on the circuit. And I came out of the chicane, and as you come out of the chicane, there's kind of concrete chocolate blocks in the grass on the right hand side. And I came at an angle and got one of the rear wheels on the chocolate blocks. And if that had been a Giulia, I think I would have been pirouetting down the track.
Yeah.
But the Stelvio just said, back end's going, I'm not having that. And it just put all the power to the front and pulled me out. And it was,
there you go.
That was kind of the moment that I thought, if I've ever got the money, I'm having one of these.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
GT 3.2 is an obvious choice given you're a GT owner as well. So I'm always interested in the 156 versus 147 GTA thing. So I had a 147 GTA, which is was a fantastic car. So again, I've said this before in the podcast, but objectively, my Giulietta Veloce with 300 horsepower, courtesy of Celtic, was probably a better car. No torque steer, more power, probably handled better, if I'm absolutely honest, but didn't have that kind of Busso burble. And I have no desire to get another Giulietta Veloce, but I would have another 147 GTA tomorrow. Yeah. They're just awesome things.
They're amazing cars. Yeah.
Why the 156 rather than the 147?
We're splitting hairs, if we're being completely honest on this one. The 147 GT, every time I see one, I just think, what a cool car. It's sort of like Alpha's hot hatch. It's like,
it's kind of factory modded, isn't it? It just looks perfect.
Spot on. Yeah, exactly. The 156 for me, I think, looks better. It slightly looks better. And I've heard that they drive a bit better as well. I don't know if that's down to the chassis, but I think the main reason is I probably couldn't get away with another two-door car. I think the missus will go absolutely nuts. Yeah,
that is a fair point.
Yeah, so we need the four-door saloon. So
saloon, not sport wagon.
Oh,
because I think the sport wagon's a better looking car.
It is a better looking car. You're right. oh goodness me, choices. Saloon. Saloon, we'll go saloon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, Nathan, and look forward to seeing you again during the course of the year. And hopefully by the end of the year, that GT will have taken a pot somewhere for shininess.
Yes. Whoever's doing the judging and adjudicating this year, please, please look at my GT.
Oh, everybody will look at it. It's, that's not any doubt.
Please. Yeah. We need the GT to get something. Yeah. Or any GT for that matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant, Nathan. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you.
That's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back in 5 weeks' time in our usual first Sunday of the month slot on the 7th of April. We'll be continuing our 60th anniversary theme when we talk to the club's longest-serving member, Ron Smith, about the early days of the club and the changes he's seen during his 59 years of membership. Episode 93 will be available to download from 1:30 p.m. from iTunes, YouTube, Podcast Addict, Spotify, Podbean, and everywhere else good podcasts are found. Until then, stay safe.